Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to be with me today. Thank you for taking time in your schedule. On yesterday's broadcast, I just started a message that we, at least I, haven't heard much teaching or preaching about, and that is on the subject of meekness. And there's a lot of good things I'd like to share with you. And as we brought the broadcast to a close yesterday, I gave you the definition of meekness. Let me do that again, in case you didn't hear it. It's, by definition, according to Webster, it's enduring injury with patience and without resentment. A second meaning is it's submissive. Third meaning, not violent or strong or mild. And when we hear this word, probably a lot of different things come into our mind. That first definition about enduring injury with patience and without resentment, that would be, of course, a real trial of our faith, wouldn't it? I don't know how successful we have been, but there was one who was very successful, and that was Jesus. And in fact, that's where I'm going to turn right now, because especially guys, it's like, well, you know, who want to be meek? And perhaps we don't fully understand, according to what the Word tells us, meekness really is, because it does say that Jesus was meek. And so one of the first points I want to make on this subject, and we really need to lay hold of it, meekness does not mean weakness. At first glance, and perhaps in our own understanding, it seems to suggest weakness. It seems to suggest a lack of authority. However, we know Jesus used that very word to describe himself. He was the meekest of all men. He describes himself that way. But this did not prevent him from driving the money changers from the temple of God with a whip that he had made with his own hands. It did not prevent him from addressing the lawyers, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and call them a den of vipers. He was very, very clear. He was not some weak, simpering little character, as perhaps some think of him, but he was a bold, strong man of God, and he was the Son of Man. And so, beloved, we have to perhaps adjust our attitude of meekness. It always makes room for a proper and productive anger to be expressed at the right time. And beloved, this is where I need to clarify. The Word says clearly, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But beloved, we need to feel anger about grave moral injustice. If we don't, that's a serious spiritual flaw. Meekness makes room for legitimate anger as seen from the life of Christ. Proper anger is righteous indignation, which the Greek defines as an anger which Christians are commanded to have. Think about this. This might be kind of something you hadn't considered, or you might have to think about it for a minute. But let me say that again. The right kind of anger is righteous indignation. And the Greek defines that word as an anger which Christians are commanded to have. We're supposed to have righteous indignation. And generally, this is in relation to not our own, you know, being offended, but it's a much larger, greater picture. It's the cause of Christ. And now, how can we express that? Well, you know, that's important for us to understand. We can be angry at the things that cause injustice and suffering and hurt to the weak, to the afflicted. That's where our anger should be directed today. We know it's really, we war not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So we see the demons and hordes of hell are being released upon the face of the earth, and those who are unsaved, who choose to align themselves with this cause of the enemy, inflict all manner of horrible and terrible things upon others. And so we have to understand we are God's people, we are His body in the earth, and that we have a godly authority and right to speak out against evil. In fact, what do we see in the Word of God? We see David and we see Jesus himself referred to as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. They were both from the line of Judah, which means praise, and it's important to understand the prophetic imperative that was spoken to Judah at the death of Jacob or Israel. And that's found in Genesis, the 49th chapter, verses 8 through 12. Before his death, Jacob, who was also given that new name Israel by the Lord because he wrestled with God and prevailed, we see that he spoke a prophetic word that was to take place not only in it started in their lives, but into their heritage, the children after them. And so we know from the historical writings that Reuben, who was the oldest son, he should have been the family leader. But because of his conduct with Bilhah, his father's concubine, he forfeited that right. It said he lay with her. And in his place, Judah then became the tribal leader. Let me quote some of Jacob's words or Israel's words. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from beneath his feet, until Shiloh, and that of course is referencing Jesus, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine. He washed his garments in wine, his clothes in the blood of grapes. And this is a reference to the Lord, who is described in another reference in Scripture in Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, verses 2 and 3. Who is this who comes from Edom, glorious in his apparel, striding triumphantly in the greatness of his might? It is I, the one who speaks in righteousness, proclaiming vindication, mighty to save. I have trodden the winepress, I've trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their lifeblood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiments. You know, there's another reference to our mighty Lord of Lords and King of Kings on a white horse that's found in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Let me read that. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written no man knew but that he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, praise God. And that's us, beloved. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rue them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, praise God. Glory to his name. So John's vision of the unveiled Christ, if you will, he beheld a sharp two-edged sword that went out of his mouth, which is the Word of God that was in that opening chapter of Revelation, verse 16. And it says, the law or the Word of God shall proceed out of Zion. And beloved, that's the church. Let me read a reference in Micah, the fourth chapter, verses 1 and 2. But it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Praise God. As we understand more fully, beloved, our ultimate destiny as the manifested sons of God, I believe we will be prompted in the spiritual warfare and activity that will see multitudes of souls brought into the kingdom. What does the word say? The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent are to take it by force. And that should be our attitude, beloved, toward whatever is improper and unlawful and ungodly on earth. By the word of God, we know how God feels. We know heaven stand. We know and understand the rule of the righteous king. And we will take the authority we have been given to bind and loose divine decrees and subdue the work of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Beloved, this is the heritage of Judah. The law, or the word, and praise is our portion. Psalm 149, 5 and 9 powerfully describes this. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all, I'm emphasizing all, his saints. Beloved, praise God. And so we see that, well, I've sort of gotten far afield from the concept of meekness, but this is indeed the very meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ going to war against his enemies and the enemies of God. So, beloved, meekness does not mean weakness. It means righteous indignation for the cause of Christ. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's just one aspect. If there's more to learn, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow, and we'll continue right on. Thank you for joining me today. If you have prayer needs, the announcer will give our contact information. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,